The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Here we go. Check it out. Listen up.
The first count of the information, Joseph Rosenbaum. We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the second count of the information, Richard McGinnis, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the third count of the information, unknown male, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fourth count of the information, Anthony Huber, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Members of the jury, are these your unanimous verdicts? Is there anyone who does not agree with the verdicts as read? Would you wish the jury pulled?
No.
Okay. Okay, folks, your job is done, and we started.
Okay, if you've seen this, you can go ahead and bring that down. Ago. If you've seen this video, and I posted it on my Facebook pages. If you've seen this video, at that point, Kyle's obviously kind of losing it and then drops to his knees, and then they're helping him calm down. I think he's got some anxiety issues, things of that nature. But hold on a second. I mean, how in the world could this happen? Because we've heard for the last year since this all happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, kind of a different story, haven't we? We've heard a slightly different take on the facts on the ground. What did we hear before? Let's play that.
Kyle Rittenhouse, he murdered two people, by the way.
Teenage vigilante and wannabe militia man, Kyle Rittenhouse.
A 17-year-old vigilante, arguably a domestic terrorist.
Just running around, shooting and killing protesters.
All right, so which is it? Running around, vigilante, shooting and killing protesters. He murdered two people, by the way. And then the first gal that you heard there, Anna Kasparian, we're going to hear from her in a minute because she's with the Young Turks. She is like the only one I know of in recent memory that I can remember. I'm talking 5-10 years that played this game because this has been political the whole time, political and cultural the whole time. And there was I heard a nationwide study recently, and 40% of the respondents thought Kyle Rittenhouse had shot and killed black people. They didn't even know that the people that died that night as a result of Kyle Rittenhouse defending himself were white and not particularly nice white people, by the way. And so what's the deal? So this was political the whole time, as it is. And so today we have a situation that, listen, the cards on the table, should Kyle Rittenhouse have been there that night with strapped with an AK, or sorry, with an AR-15 on his back as a 17-year-old? Personally, I think that was foolish. Go and help? Okay. But strapped with an AR? I think you're asking for trouble. You're going to become a target for every psychopath that's there. And as we know, honest, cards on the table, there are a whole lot of psychopathic, problematic, criminal-minded people showing up at these protests and the BLM things during the day, riots by night. And that just brought out the worst in society. Were some of those people, honest to goodness, BLM, I'm fighting for black civil rights? Yes. But there was another element that was there that had nothing to do. It was just an excuse to act out on who they had become. Criminal, destructive, satanically inclined people. And you give them an opportunity to come out of the woodwork because the police aren't doing much, the government isn't doing much, and that's what you get. You get more of whatever you incentivize. So if you incentivize by pulling the police back, kind of anarchy, that's what you get more of. And that's why it got worse and worse and worse. So because a white kid who is a Trump supporter wearing a gun gets involved in shootings, It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the facts of the case are. All that matters is that he was white from the political narrative, from the media narrative, from the liberal narrative, the progressive narrative. All that mattered. I mean, this was the gift that kept on giving. All that mattered was that he was white, a Trump supporter, and had a gun. And as soon as a white Trump supporter with a gun is involved in a shooting, regardless of what the facts of the case are, he's a vigilante, he's a murderer, and he's a white supremacist. And Joe Biden, the current president of the United States, during the election, said as much, called Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. And Kyle Rittenhouse didn't shoot black people that night. He shot white people that were trying to harm him. That's called self-defense, which is defensible not only from a criminal legal perspective. It's legal from a constitutional perspective, and ethically it's defendable from a biblical perspective. Setting that aside, I don't think Kyle Rittenhouse should have been there that night with an AR strapped to his back. Like I said, that makes you a target. Any of the whack jobs in the audience there, in the crowd, are going to see you. They're not going to ask any questions. You're just a white guy with a gun showing up at a quote-unquote BLM protest. And so, obviously, you're the enemy. And so that was foolish. And did he have a right to defend himself? Yes. That's the facts of the case, which didn't matter to most of these people, right? Didn't matter. Like, you go all the way back. This is Dem congressman, progressives react to Rittenhouse acquittal. So there's that. You heard what they said in the media. And so there's all that junk going on. And so what happened? Five counts, not guilty. Well, first of all, that's justice. You live in a country that's the rule of law, okay? The rule of law. And you had 16, I didn't know how this worked in Wisconsin, 16 jurists sat through the whole thing, and then they randomly selected 12, and those are the people that have been going back and forth for the last 3 or 4 days. Probably came down to one or two of them who just couldn't acquit, and then eventually, because you have to have a unanimous decision or you got a hung jury, which is a mistrial. And as the prosecution were bringing their witnesses, including the one guy that was shot, it became obvious that this was a clear case of self-defense. I'm not saying it was wise for him to be there doing any of that. But then you have the president of the United States and the media for the last year condemning Kyle Rittenhouse, criminal, white supremacist, attacker, murderer, on absolutely no evidence whatsoever. So hopefully, I'm going to read this story to you. So hopefully we're going to see Nicholas Sandman. Remember that name? We're going to see Nick Sandman part 2. Nick Sandman 2.0. This time it'll be Kyle Rittenhouse who needs to sue the tar out of all these people. There's a whole lot more to talk about, but there's a lot of good in this story. Not comfortable, but good. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just checking the weather in Kenosha, Wisconsin right now. It's about 38 degrees. It's going to drop when the sun goes down by about 6:30 there. It'll be at 36 degrees. Yeah, so in the mid-30s, we'll see if that's enough to stop Kenosha Meltdown 2.0. We'll see what happens. There, half the crowd outside the courthouse today was media and people with cameras or iPhones filming other people with iPhones. Because that's the world we live in anymore, isn't it? It's just bizarro land. And so today, not guilty on all five counts. Before I dive into this, there's because I played a little montage of the liberal media. Can we play that again right quick, Josh? I want to play that montage right quick again. Some of the liberal media, what they were saying after this event took place a year ago. And they were all judge, jury, and executioner. So, of course, they're radically disappointed today. Do you have it? Let me know when you find it. So they all, you know,
he's the jury in Arkansas.
That's not it. That's the other one. So they were all, Kyle Rittenhouse is a vigilante, white supremacist, murderer, right? From the get-go, because that fit the narrative. That fit the narrative of the summer, and that fit the narrative of the left. So it doesn't matter what the facts of the case are. Ideology trumps reality, right? Ideology trumps reality anymore. Did you have it? All right, let me know when you have it. So ideology trumps reality. It doesn't matter what the facts of the case are. They just went ballistic, but from the Young Turks, pretty liberal thing on YouTube. They've been around for several years. Which one do you have? All right, play that right quick.
Kyle Rittenhouse, he murdered two people, by the way.
Teenage vigilante and wannabe militiaman Kyle Rittenhouse.
A 17-year-old vigilante, arguably a domestic terrorist.
Just running around, shooting and killing protesters.
Arguably a domestic terrorist, quote unquote, Joe Scarborough, just running around shooting people. That, right? That's what he was doing. Sure he was. Exactly. Judge, jury, executioner, because it fits the narrative. Again, ideology trumps reality. That's what you see with people that go down the road and talking about the transgenderism stuff we're dealing with right now. Ideology trumps reality. The ideology is what matters, not the XY chromosome or the XX. It doesn't matter. Science doesn't matter. Facts don't matter. You can do that with COVID, too. Ideology trumps everything. But the first girl you heard in that clip, her name is Anna Kasparian with Young Turks. She's the only one I've seen do this in years. On the left, and even on the right, it's so rare that you see a member of the media come out and say, you know what, I was wrong. But that's exactly what she did. Can we play that? You got that ready? This is Anna Kasparian from Young Turks. Watch this.
I was wrong about that. Okay, so I want to correct the record. I was, in fact, wrong about that. So look, these details matter because if you're going to make an argument that you acted in self-defense, there needs to be some proof that there was an imminent threat. Now, what really mattered to me was how all of this unfolded. What was the thing that sparked it? What started all of it? And initially, I was under the assumption that Rittenhouse was the person who was chasing after Joseph Rosenbaum, that's how it had started. But I was wrong about that. Okay, so I want to correct the record. I was, in fact, wrong about
that. Okay, we can stop there.
And
that's
to
fine.
Show you the...
And then she goes through and shows some of the video footage that shows what Rosenbaum doing, ended up chasing Kyle, threw something at him. Somebody else fired a gun. Somebody else fired a handgun right near there. And so the whole situation went pregnant with opportunity for it to go south. But this guy's going after Kyle, and Kyle shot to defend himself. And that's what happened. That's why he was found innocent today on all five counts. And so people on the left, predictably, Kyle Rittenhouse is living proof that white tears can still forestall justice. Representative Adriano Espalette, a Democrat from New York, said a murderer is once again walking free today. Our system is terribly broken. So when it doesn't fit the narrative, doesn't fit the progressive picture, then it's broken. Okay. Guilty or not guilty, facts or feelings, whatever. None of that matters. Ideology matters. Duane Tatro, a senior advisor to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, called for civil unrest following the verdict, tweeting, "No justice, no peace." This guy happens to be a criminal ex-gangbanger. "I do not believe that convictions equal justice, but I am convinced that the not guilty verdict constitutes a great injustice today. The American legal system is rooted in racism and functions to uphold white supremacy." Based on what in this case? Race had nothing to do with this. The white guy shot white guys. How is that white supremacy and upholding white supremacy? It makes no sense. That's because the reality doesn't matter to these people. Their feelings and their ideology trumps reality. Okay, just remember that. California Governor Gavin Newsom said, following the not guilty verdict, "America today, you can break the law, carry around weapons built for a military, shoot and kill people, and get away with it." That's the message we've just sent to armed vigilantes across the nation. That's the governor of California, who doesn't give a rip about constitutional rights, doesn't give a rip about the law saying you actually have the right to defend yourself, and doesn't give a rip about the Second Amendment, which is obvious. But that's it. You can just break the law, carry around weapons built for the military, shoot and kill people. By the way, the military weapons are much more powerful than an AR. Not that an AR isn't powerful. And kill people and get away with it. That's what he just killed people and got away with it. The ACLU came out with a long thing. Despite Kyle Rittenhouse's conscious decision to travel across state lines and injure one person and take the lives of two people, protesting the shooting of Jacob Blake, two of these guys that died, one of them was a pedophile, convicted pedophile over and over again. You think he was out there because of Jacob Blake? He wasn't. He was a violent, messed up, evil person. And when there's craziness in the streets, we saw this all that summer. Some BLMers and then a whole lot of people that just were anarchists and hate life and hate people and hate justice and hate America. And they're just satanic as the day is long, and they just thrive on it. So they show up and go crazy because in many cases, the police and the National Guard weren't stopping them. This had nothing to do with Jacob Blake, those guys being there. You think those guys were Black Lives Matter activists? They're not. They're just crazy, violent people. His acquittal comes after our investigation exposed how Kenosha law enforcement used violence against protesters, blah, 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 blah. You got to keep the narrative going. Dangerous, disgusting, unacceptable white supremacy, Rittenhouse verdict, the ACLU of Maryland added. That's their little tweet. Mayor de Blasio. Golly. This verdict is disgusting and it sends a horrible message to this country. Where's the justice in this? That's the criminal justice system, sir. A jury of his peers, sir. The right to self-defense, sir. The right to keep and bear arms, sir. The law, the Constitution, which I know makes you sick. We can't let this go, Mayor de Blasio says. We need stronger laws to stop violent extremism from within our own nation. Take a look around your own city. Give me a break. Anthony Humer and Joseph Rosenbaum are victims. They should be alive today, he said. The only reason they're not is because a violent, dangerous man chose to take a gun across state lines and start shooting people. To call this a miscarriage of justice is an understatement. These people, God help you, sir, but that's disgusting. That's so warped and disgusting. And then there's this. Celebrities react to Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty verdict. Why do we pay attention to anything that celebrities say? Okay. Here's some conservatives, some talking heads, people, okay. Buck Sexton, justice is alive in America, Rittenhouse not guilty on all counts. Joe Biden, CNN, Buck also said this, tweeted this. Joe Biden, CNN, MSNBC, and the Democrat establishment should apologize for lying about Rittenhouse as a racist and a school shooter and a white supremacist for months. But they won't. Because they have no honor and don't care about the destruction they constantly incite. That's for sure. I'll get to the Covington kid, Nick Sandman, and what's going to happen next, okay? Ben Shapiro, not guilty was the correct verdict. Anyone with a prefrontal cortex who had watched the trial for more than 30 seconds knew this. Anyone who says differently is a lying hack. A few more there. The Covington kid, Nick Sandman, thinks Kyle Rittenhouse should sue for defamation. I agree with that. And then... On the upside, justice, rule of law, the process, facts versus feelings, self-defense. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. If you get a takeaway today from the show, then just remember that little line I keep repeating, ideology trumps reality. Okay? Ideology trumps reality. It does not matter what's real. It does not matter the facts of the case. It does not matter the evidence, the video evidence, testimony. None of it matters. The only thing matters is ideology. And when your God is your ideology, you will serve that. No matter what, you'll serve your ideology, okay? And it doesn't matter how ridiculous it gets. It doesn't matter what the facts say. I'm sharing a link right now on Facebook Live for everybody. I was mentioning during the commercial break, ideology trumping reality. A perfect example, Debbie Wasserman Schultz a few years ago was asked by a young pro-life gal on camera, found out that she had twin daughters, and she asked her, before your daughters were born, were they human? That's a pretty easy question, right? Before your daughters were born, were they human? And she wouldn't answer the question. She talked about a woman's right to choose. She talked about her defense of a woman's right to choose and women's reproductive freedom. And then at one point, she finally buckles a little and says, well, they're human now. Wow, Debbie. So the next question, of course, would be, well, then before they were born, what were they genetically? If they weren't human, what were those two things in your womb? Dogs, cats, amoebas, cabbage patch kids. What were they? But her ideology has to trump reality. So you just ignore it. That's why in the case of something like Kyle Rittenhouse today, found innocent on all five charges, they just can't do that. They can't accept that. They can't go there. And that's why originally it didn't matter what the facts of the matter are. He was white. He was a Trump supporter and he was armed. And all three things, three strikes, you're out, especially on the progressive left. And that's why they didn't care what the facts of the case were. They still don't, which is why they're saying the things that they're saying. Let's see. Some other people, Rakita Media, justice wins today. The facts and the law necessitated acquittal from day one. Many people are afraid this case would be the death of justice, but it got a Pfizer-approved booster shot today. That's funny. Candace Owens, not guilty. A black woman. Candace Owens, not guilty. Kyle Rittenhouse is free. The criminal mob corporate enterprise that is masquerading as a movement concerned about black lives fails. Jenna Ellis is a lawyer, not guilty on all counts. The jury was not intimidated. Good. And they have every reason to be intimidated. That's why the thank goodness to one of my friends on Facebook Live reminded me of this when the judge banned MSNBC. Because did you hear this? The MSNBC guy was following the bus, taking the jurors back. Not that we're trying to intimidate them or anything. Taking the jurors back after their deliberations yesterday. He runs a red light because he's trying to take pictures of them. No intimidation there. Matt Walsh from works with Ben Shapiro. Praise God. He added, I hope Rittenhouse bankrupts all of you dirtbags and media who smeared him as a white supremacist. I hope he ruins your life. I want you to suffer. It's what you deserve. It's justice. Here's another one. Kyle Becker. The U.S. media tried to gaslight America into another riot by lying about the actions of a 17-year-old kid in Kenosha. The not guilty Rittenhouse verdict is a rebuke to the fake news media, radical agitators who tried to intimidate jurors and corrupt prosecutors in this case. And if you watch the case at all, watch the prosecutor operate, it was obvious that this is what happened with COVID. This is what's going on with a lot of things. You decide what the outcome is. You write the end of the book, and then you got to fill the front of the book in order to get to your desired outcome. And that's what he was doing, trying to paint him like the president did as just a white supremacist who is out there hunting black people. And like I said earlier, there's a poll that came out recently that like 40% of people they polled across the country thought Kyle Rittenhouse, in fact, killed black people, not white people. And then I watched some video of a few folks and they're like, he killed white people. Oh, I thought he killed black people. Because ideology trumps reality. When your ideology drives everything, which for most people is emotional, they don't even bother to look. You look at clickbait, and then you have confirmation bias, so you just continue. You get into an echo chamber all by yourself. And by the way, you and I do this too. You share the stories that immediately make you feel good or reinforce what you believe about the world, and so you see a headline that equates to that, and you just go with it. You don't really investigate. You don't do any homework. You don't question it. Listen, I get caught on that every once in a while myself. I'm like, oh, geez, why did I share that? And then you find out the story is like 8 years old or something. Ridiculous. So, some wins on this. Well, I think justice won. The justice system won today. Because it allowed for, you're innocent until proven guilty, and if they can't prove you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, you are declared and remain innocent. That's the justice system. That's the rule of law, so that you don't have people, we're not adjudicating things in the media or with people that have a platform or with people that have masses with them and intimidate people. You can intimidate jurors. You don't think these jurors were intimidated? They see the mainstream media. They know what the president said during the election last year, assuming he's Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. So if you find him innocent, you're one too. And then you got the crowds from last year and the BLM stuff going crazy at night. And those and the people in a lot of those places were plain old dangerous. And so I would fear for my life if I'm on the jury. So justice won because these brave people were willing to consider the facts, follow the justice system, and found him innocent. And there were 16 of them that sat through the whole process, and then they randomly picked 12, and that's who came up with the decision. The rule of law, not the rule of people, not the rule of the media, not the rule of the powerful, not the rule of the mobs, not the rule of threats or intimidation. The rule of law won today. Praise the Lord. The process. He's arrested. He's charged. He has a defense. He has a fair hearing in court. The evidence is presented, and then a jury of his peers make the decision. That's the process. The process won today. Facts over feelings. So you had people that, some of these people were probably prejudiced going in there in the first place. That's why I appreciated and we played the video of the gal from Young Turks, Anna Kasparian, who came out and admitted, I was wrong. I thought Kyle was just running around shooting people and not realizing that he actually had a right to defend himself. He wasn't the aggressor. And she admitted she was wrong. That's probably the only video I'm going to be able to play of anything like that on this case. Instead of prejudging, facts won out in the end. I thank God for that. Self-defense won out. That's the sanctity of human life, by the way. Your life is valuable as well. So if your life is threatened and your intent is not to kill, you've watched Kyle Rittenhouse. You think Kyle Rittenhouse went there? If you've watched any of this proceeding, I don't think he went there to kill people. And then, of course, LeBron James, who cries over all of his spilt milk in the NBA, lambasts Kyle for crying when he's trying to recount in one of the moments during the case when he's had to shoot people. You're 17, and now you've killed a couple people. I don't think it was wise. I think it was foolish. It was dumb in many ways that he was there doing what he did. That's my perspective. But don't you think this is going to haunt him for the rest of his life? Of course, that wasn't bogus, LeBron. Give me a break from your ivory tower. He had a right to defend himself, and now he's gone through this. You think his life is going to be nice? No. It'll be ruined for a while, if not permanently. But self-defense won today. The Second Amendment won today. And I don't talk about the Second Amendment a lot. I believe in it. I'm a constitutional person. I'm a strict constructionist. I believe in the Second Amendment. You have a right to keep and bear arms precisely for the reason to defend yourself. That won today. And then the fight against lawlessness won today. Doesn't matter what the crowd was there for. Doesn't matter what the protest was for. The rule of law still has to trump all that. The rule of law trumps feelings, trumps ideology. That's the nation we live in. We live under a constitution, a written constitution, the supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution, supreme over everything. We're not a law. We're not a country of powerful people. We should be a power. We should be a country of the rule of law. We submit ourselves willingly to the law. When do we not do that? The further away we get from a biblical ethic, the less the law matters. That's why founding father after founding father said our form of government is only going to work for religious and moral people. It's not sufficient for anything else because there's too much freedom. There's too much liberty. The only thing that's going to keep you from going ballistic is going to be an internal clock. So the Second Amendment won, fighting lawlessness won, the media was judge, jury, executioner, and Nicholas Sandman. Let's see what happens here. This was in Fox News. Nicholas Sandman supports Kyle Rittenhouse suing to hold the media accountable in a new op-ed. Former Covington Catholic High School student Nicholas Sandman thinks Kyle Rittenhouse should definitely sue to hold him accountable. The parallels between me and Kyle Rittenhouse, he wrote, are impossible not to draw. The way the media has treated you is terrible, and you don't have to face it alone. Kyle was almost immediately labeled a white supremacist and a domestic terrorist. To many, my red MAGA hat clearly meant that I was a racist, Sandman continued in his op-ed. Kyle wasn't given his day in court by his critics, and neither was I. The attacks on Kyle came from the national news media just as they came for me. They came quickly, without hesitation, because Kyle was an easy target that they could paint in the way they wanted to. Right, exactly. White, Trump-supporting, gun owner, murderer, domestic terrorist. Probably when Kyle gets a little older, he's going to show up at a school board meeting. And let's hope to God that the FBI deals with him. Right? That's the world that we're in. It's crazy. So Sandman, $250 million defamation suit, and they settled out of court with a CNN, MSNBC. I hope Kyle does the same thing. I really do. They need to be held accountable. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. We are talking through the verdict. Obviously, five counts, not guilty on all of them for Kyle Rittenhouse. When the show ends, if you're on radio, on Facebook Live, when the show's over, as soon as we finish the radio show at 5 o'clock straight up Eastern time, we always pray together on Facebook Live and YouTube Live after the show's over. And when we're done, I'm going to pray for I'm going to pray for Kyle Rittenhouse, his family. I'm going to pray for the other people involved. We'll pray for Kenosha. And just be people of prayer. Pray without ceasing. That just means as things come up in your spirit, then pray. And it doesn't have to be some long, elaborate prayer. Don't be like the Pharisee in the temple that just wants to be seen, right? God already knows it's on your heart. It's just another act of obedience to get it out and pray and speak to the Lord and intercede for people. And Kyle Rittenhouse needs prayer. I don't know where he's at faith-wise. I don't know where his family's at faith-wise. His life's going to be a train wreck, and his life's going to be threatened now for a while. And then he's probably going to have lawsuits, I hope, against MSNBC and CNN, maybe even the President of the United States, for defamation and calling him a murderer and a white supremacist and a domestic terrorist. And sooner, one of these days, when he has kids, I'm sure he'll show up at a school board meeting. You get my drift on that. By the way, here's if you've been following this in the news, here's what it looks like happened with the whole school board, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, FBI, Department of Justice, White House, and the National Association of School Boards. Here's what it looks like happened. That the White House actually initiated a conversation with the National Association of School Boards, brought the subject up. The school board then writes the letter to send to Biden to, saying, oh, there's all these problems out there and people are being threatened and we got to deal with this, which then gave a Biden administration the green light to have Merrick Garland write the letter to the FBI and the Department of Justice to put a shot across the bow of every conservative and logical parent in America that wants to engage the school system for all the garbage that most of them are trying to pour into their kids. That was just that we need an excuse to threaten, to intimidate, to harass, to use the language from Merrick Garland's letter, these parents that are going to show up and try to get in our business of what we're trying to do with their kids. They needed a green light to do it. They wanted to do it. I believe that wholeheartedly. They wanted to. But they needed a green light, and they worked with the National Association of School Board folks, and they got one. Oh, look, there's people out there being threatened. And they gave them like 26 examples, and the vast majority of those were just aggressive verbal confrontation. The fix is in. I don't trust any of this stuff. Like this one. Golly, please, Lord Jesus, come back. Sooner than later, the FDA asked the federal judge to grant it until the year 2076 to fully release Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine data. This is crazy. Aaron Seary, who runs a law firm, is involved with this case. The FDA has asked a federal judge to make the public wait until the year 2076 to disclose all of the data and information it relied upon to license Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. That's not a typo. It wants 55 years to produce this information to the public. What? Does that concern you? It should. As explained in a prior article, the FDA repeatedly promised full transparency with regard to COVID-19 vaccines, including reaffirming the FDA's commitment to transparency when licensing Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. With that promise in mind, in August and immediately following approval of the vaccine, more than 30 academics, professors, and scientists from this country's most prestigious universities requested that data. Okay? The FDA's response, it produced nothing. So it's in September, my firm, this is the writer of this article, Aaron Seary, my firm filed a lawsuit against the FDA on behalf of this group to demand this information. To date, almost 3 months after it licensed Pfizer's vaccine, the FDA still has not released a single page, not one. Instead, 2 days ago, the FDA asked a federal judge to give it until 2076 to fully produce the information. What? The FDA asked the judge, listen to this, to let it produce the 329,000 plus pages of documents Pfizer provided to the FDA to license its vaccine. I'm sure they read them all, right, Nancy Pelosi? At the rate of 500 pages per month. Okay, so we'll release this information publicly. 500 pages per month, 329,000 plus pages total, which means its production would not be completed any earlier than 2076. The FDA's promise of transparency is, to put it mildly, a pile of illusions. Wow. And here's something I'm getting more mad by the day as I'm listening to talk radio during the day when I can. And have you noticed, have you heard them on your radio stations? Paid for by the federal government, these ads basically saying, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, Pfizer's now been approved for kids 5 to 11. And so let's protect the future. Let's protect future farmers and engineers and rocket scientists and lawyers. Let's protect them by giving them the Pfizer vaccine because it's been approved for children down to 5. And it's like peppy music, like we're saving the future. Let's do it for the children who have a better chance of dying by a lightning strike in the 5 to 11 age range than they do of dying from COVID. This is so insidious. It's so dark. It's so evil. That little kids, let's turn little kids into lab rats in order to complete the biggest virtue signal in the history of mankind. Because when you kill God, you try to replace God, Romans 1, you got to come up with your own system of justification because you still know, because you're made in the image of God, that you need redemption. But we don't want the God Jesus version. We're going to come up with our own. So now we have to figure out ways to make ourselves righteous. So all of a sudden, COVID, and how are we going to make ourselves righteous? We're going to come up with the answer. And if we can get it to kids, we're even more righteous. And it doesn't matter that we don't know what's going to happen to children after 14 or 18 months or 24 months or 36 months or 4 years of having mRNA stuff in them. We don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows because nobody's had any testing that lasts longer than about the last 18 months. Nobody knows. But then they're running ads to jab kids who have a better chance of dying from a car accident, fire, a fall, or lightning. Literally. Do the math. You can go find it. I've said it umpteen times on this show. And they're running ads for that. It disgusts me. It's disgusting. And it's just so stinking wrong and evil and twisted and messed up. So what do you do? What do you do with all this? You got Kyle Rittenhouse. You got the liberal media. Then, you know, the House passes their $1.9 trillion thing today. It's going to go to the Senate. Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema will get them to chop it down by another $400 or $500 billion. They can pat themselves on the back because they stood their ground, but they're still going to pass a $1.5 trillion mess. 40% of it, which is going to go to new Green Deal stuff. They're basically, there's a quote I heard earlier today on talk radio, and one guy said, yeah, you know what this program is? And Glenn Beck made this point. It's not so much about the money, although the money's a train wreck. It's basically a new software system for the governance of this country. And another commentator, an economist, said basically what they're doing is expanding the welfare state into the middle class. Now, the Noble family, we do just fine financially. I get a bunch of different things that I do. I don't have like one job that pays all the bills. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, hey, honey, where did this $350 deposit in the bank account come from? I don't know. It's not mine. Where'd that come from? Joe Biden. They're not means testing anybody. We don't need the government to send us $300 a month. You can't even opt out of it. They just send it. And so they're going to create the welfare class and the middle class. So it's the changing of the governance of this country that's happening in these bills. And 40% of the money is going to the new Green Deal stuff and all your electric cars, which have to be powered by coal-powered plants in order to get electricity. And so, yes, to echo what Sue just said on Facebook Live, what do? We pray. And you better remember, friend, I need to remember this as well, that this ain't all there is. The condition of the nation, our budget, what happens to Kyle Rittenhouse, what's going on with BLM, what's going on with COVID, that's all temporary. It's all temporary. And none of it matters more than... Oh, thanks for that, Vance. There's a little link on Facebook Live. Looks like you can opt out. Good. Because I don't think I should be getting my grandchildren and great-grandchildren to add an extra $300 a month to my bank account. Thanks for that, Vance. That's on Facebook Live. You guys want to have the backbone and go back out that extra $300 a month. Just on a... Because we're borrowing it from our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. So you pray and you realize that this stuff is all temporary, that ultimately the only thing that lasts is human souls. And so we engage in this world, we engage in politics, we engage in these subjects, not to try to save America, but to try to see Americans saved. I care about the country because the country is made up of 340 million people, all of whom are made in the image of God and all of whom are my neighbor. And I'm commanded to love my neighbor as myself. And even though I know that's a command, I actually do at this point in my walk with Christ. I actually do care about my neighbors, whether they like me or agree with me or not. It's irrelevant. I care about them. So I engage with politics. I talk about these things and I engage for the good of my neighbor. But all this USA stuff, rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, the flag, all of it, it's all going to go. All of it. None of it will last. Human souls will last. So we pray. That's the most powerful tool in our arsenal and the one I think most of us use the least, truth be told. So we pray, we agonize, we lament over our nation, we lament over injustice, we lament over a system that's popping experimental medications into our kids. We lament and we pray, and we take action. We should pray about everything, but prayer isn't the only thing you should do. We should take action and fight for what's right, what's good, what's noble, what's worthy, what's ethical, what's moral, what's good for our neighbors. But if we leave the gospel out of all of that, we're putting a Band-Aid on a severed arm. The gospel changes hearts, which changes minds, and also changes eternal destiny, and that's the only thing that lasts. So let's make sure we keep our priorities straight, friends, myself especially. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. I hope you have a great weekend, and like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.